Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast coming at you from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco. Just two guys and we're having a good time, having a good time, having a good time. Just two guys and we're having a good time, having a good time. It's me and Brett in the Frog Quarters. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Woo!
Yes.
We're both having
a good time.
Wonderful days. You know, don't worry. Matt Lieb is out of town. He'll be back someday. Brendan, I don't know. He's at work or some horseshit.
Nobody fucking knows where our friends are. Could be anywhere. Do you want to be our new friend?
You guys are our friends, right? I've been told that this show is great for simulating what it's like to have friends.
Yeah, I thought I wrote that down in my little notebook that I keep all my good ideas in.
Yeah.
And it just said, not real friends, question mark, but maybe, question mark again.
So who knows? Maybe they're real friends.
I thought that was an angle we could play. It's like, hey, we'll be your buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be your buddies.
Don't hug us.
We got a couple emails. Well, we were supposed to watch The Great Dictator, but I guess we'll table that for next week.
I don't know why we would have to. Didn't you watch it?
I did, but you didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
You know, now I kind of wonder if we should watch Chaplin instead, since Richard Attenborough died and he directed that. And I kind of did want to know more about Charlie Chaplin as I was watching The Great Dictator.
That's a documentary about Chaplin?
No, it's a biopic. Yeah. It's like an early 90s or late 80s biopic that's probably takes some creative liberties.
How was The Great Dictator? Do you really want to table it? You think you can get us to watch it?
Don't know. I mean, I think it'd be interesting to talk about. I thought it was interesting.
Is there stuff to talk about?
Yeah, I think so.
You wouldn't just be like, well...
No, I think there's stuff to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, like, all the stuff with him and Mussolini is pretty amazing.
Okay. Let's table it then.
All right. So one of our favorite topics is people keep asking David Simon whether Tony Soprano is dead.
I saw that blow up on Twitter this afternoon.
Yeah, same as, like, what's in the suitcase in
Pulp
Fiction kind of deal.
I do enjoy the death drive. Thanatos? That's all.
What is that?
It's Freud, right? You got that Eros, which is the urge to fuck and like baby rabbit that shit. And you got the Thanatos where you're just like...
And Thanatos is a hormone?
it's kind of a metaphorical entity.
Okay.
It is the half of your personality that just wants it to end.
Okay.
It's like... Okay,
that just wants to die.
Yeah, so if
you're going there right away this time.
No, I was... All right, so here's the thing with only two of us, I feel the need to absorb the personalities that aren't here.
Okay.
So I feel like really compelled to be super manic and just go get them, take charge, seize life by the wiener, and just tug until it spurts.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
All right, I know, but it's unnatural for me.
Okay,
so the real
just finish a thought. That's all I want.
It's the death drive. It wants the cold embrace of entropy, just total white noise, no order, the complete collapse of all things.
And so you think that people that want to know, that want to know like what's in the suitcase, is Tony alive? The people that, which I always think is such a weird...
Wait, no, close it down. Okay. Finish the thought.
They want to know what happens at the end.
Yeah.
And nothingness, nothingness is
they
the answer.
Only, okay. Yeah, they only want the embrace of finality to conclude and to tie a bow on everything that is ambiguous.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
Everything in its box in the museum case, just 1,000 dead sparrows, and you roll them out, and they've all got their little tag, you know?
That is true. It's like, what happens next? What happens next? What happens next? It's like if you just follow that to its logical conclusion, you're like, well,
the
sun is gonna, it's gonna pull all our molecules apart, and we're gonna suck. It's gonna suck itself into itself. You're so giddy.
I know. Is this how Ben would react? No, we don't. Who's the? I guess it's Joe.
What?
Who's the like super life affirming?
Ben.
Out of all our. Yeah, I mean, Ben's pretty life-affirming.
Ben's definitely the most upbeat, I would say.
But I think it would be Joe. Joe's probably the most...
He has a joie de vivre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's coming on later. Both of those guys are coming on later. In case you're just tuning in, I don't know how that works.
I don't think they can do... I don't even think that's possible.
I don't think you can scroll ahead. I just wanted to feel professional for a second. But yeah, I just think it's funny. I mean, it's such a 3-year-old reaction. Where you're like, did he... what happened to Tony at the end? Yeah. It's like, well, you saw.
There's
he didn't want to tell you. That's the answer.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a lot of layers here, too. It's that the audience, there's a portion of the audience that wants to know, and those people want to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the fact that there, there's
that's a wish for death?
Yeah, on some level.
I think it's a wish for an afterlife. It's like they want to be told the positive story.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They want to know that you go up to heaven and your grandma's going to be there and your amputated leg you get a bunny.
Back.
You get a bunny named Ted.
The bunny died?
No.
It had to, otherwise how would it?
Okay.
That's so sad.
Well, yeah, but it's going to die eventually and then you get to have your bunny, but for a while you're going to have to be in heaven without your bunny. But there's other bunnies. There's so many dead bunnies up there.
Oh,
I killed a lot just in case.
Rampant. Just lousy with them. So there's, that's the fun interpretation. The cold hard fact interpretation is probably that they want something to talk about in their boring little lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, did you know? It's the actually impulse where
they
learn something new and they can't wait to tell people what that actually means.
Yeah. Like,
it's a much more pedantic, much more down to earth.
Right.
Shittiness of existence answer. Like the big cosmic answer is, yeah, they want to die. They want to know about death.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very near to you table conversation answer is that
I memorize this Wikipedia page and
here's a fun thing.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
There is a show and it's actually not art. It's a ream of facts and I've memorized them all.
Yeah.
And I know
which then is also kind of a death. Like the cataloging of the universe is the death that you can't observe without destroying.
Right.
It's the Shiva thing.
Man, doing a lot of philosophizing right off the bat. I don't know if I can handle it.
Wait, there's more. That's only layer one. So that's level one is the fan base and their desire.
I'm going to get into this onion.
Yeah, I'm already crying. There's only two of them.
No, that's fine. I'll put my goggles on. I actually bought onion goggles the other day. That's how bad I am.
Like, do they have cute little rims that are shaped like onions?
No, but they are definitely... Well, I think they're technically for grilling, but I use them to cut onions.
How are they different from swimming goggles? Just $30 extra?
Yeah. No, they were $20. They weren't too expensive, but I just went into Cost Plus, and I should never be allowed into Cost Plus, because it's like, hey, you know what? We got stupid food items and like one-use kitchen utensils.
And
I'm like,
British
ooh.
Candies.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm going to buy a biscuit.
Yeah. I bought onion goggles, bought a grill, bought some hot sauces.
A grill? Where are you going to take it up to the roof?
No, it's like one of the grills that you stick on your stove.
Is it for a gas stove?
Yeah, it's like a big flat metal.
Oh, it's like a griddle.
Yeah. But it's got
ridges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm glad we figured
that
out.
You know, they really should have put flat on one side so I could do my grilling and also my pancaking. But I never really make pancakes.
Pancakes are pretty good.
Yeah,
hey, my wife was like, we need a waffle iron. And I'm super anti-gizmo.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no waffle iron. We'll make pancakes. Pancakes are the same thing. Waffle iron may be the best.
Oh, God, so much better. Yeah. Oh, you know what someone else told me the other day? We were on a thread about, someone hadn't discovered tachos yet. And she was like, I think it was BK.
I don't know what tachos are.
So she's like, I don't have any tortilla chips. I'm going to make them out of tater tots. Those are called tachos. They're like nachos, but with tater tots. They're actually even better than nachos. There's a bar down the street that's fucking terrible and loud and awful, but I will brave it solely because they have tachos.
Little pickled jalapenos on them.
Yeah, and so someone else piped up. They're like, you know what's even better than tachos? You take your tater tots and you stick them in a waffle iron, and then you make a tacho thing out of that.
Like a tacho hash?
Yeah.
Twice fried potatoes?
Awful tachos. Waffle tachos.
It's like the Pokemon.
But so it's like a giant, you know, I just assume it comes out like as a big disc of crispy potato.
Yeah, like a big hash brown, right?
Yeah, or like a big tostada, like a taco salad with a potato on that one side.
And is that not what happens?
That's a life hack right there.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
But then you'd like, you crumple it back up together and make just a big potato tot again. And then you could roll that one out and make it like a tortilla, and then you could wrap
you roll it in a pizza.
Uh-huh.
Well, you put nacho stuff on
it.
Roll it in pizza
commemorative dough. Tote filled with chili. I like that Taco Town wasn't that good of a sketch, but is somehow amazingly memorable.
Was that the one?
Taco Town!
Where they just keep wrapping things and other things?
Yeah. We could do...
We forgot to play the Creed Marlin song. Did you know that Scott's...
Wait, is this real? Is this real life?
Yes. You like that, huh? I think I ruined Brett, you guys. I'm sorry. One strike, two strikes, swing away. One strike, two strikes, swing away. A stolen base. A perfect game. A triple play. Another play.
Scott's dad naming baseball stuff.
Yeah.
Gerber. There's a guy in the field and he's pitching some things.
A bark, a mound, a base. There's a wall and some seats and some plays. Come on, baseball, make my day. You should sing every theme song.
I picture them cutting in the studio. Marlins are beautiful, fresh.
It's called Marlins Will Soar. Which is funny because I don't know if he knows that Marlins aren't a bird, or just if everything in Creed universe just flies constantly. It's like
wait, did he write this? This isn't their theme. They're like,
do you think that someone at the Marlins was like, come on, Marlins, make us proud?
The poor assistant that had to like listen to this for the first time with his bosses around. He's like, I guess I'm fired. Sorry.
A dribble, a basket, a ball. They're tall and black. They're taking free throws. Come on, Heat, let's play.
Marlon Soar.
Hey, yes, well, series champs will be. Keep hoping and dreaming of you will serve.
The funny thing about him,
it's like Creed Mad Libs.
It's like soar in faith and believe in yourself. You're a fish in the world of men. The funny thing is, like, I actually kind of like his ridiculously over the top arena rock riffs, and I listen to him. I'm like, you know, this is kind of good. And then fucking Scott Stapp shows up. Scott Stapp shows up, and he's like, "Hey, everybody, what's going on? Came here to ruin this song."
This song's just having a fun party, and Scott Stapp shows up just wasted. Get out of here, Scott. We were having a good song.
They're chasing him out of there with brooms.
Yeah.
Hold on. I think I got something here going.
Roll it.
Let's see if we can get going here. Let me back this up a little bit.
One strike, two strikes.
California got sunshine.
A diving catch. A storm.
Hanging out with your friends.
A perfect game.
Setting up for a good time. Just won a million, so you drive the brand new Benz. It's days like.
Stop it. You're hurting me. Bad.
Real it's like bad. A musical biological weapon right there.
Outlawed by the Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's that guy's name, the Smash Mouth dude?
Steve Harwell.
Yeah.
I like how he starts it with, roll it. He really misses calling as like a the big second coming of the Big Bopper.
I don't. Oh, Smash Mouth.
Since you already got pretty dark, we did get a pretty good email. Good evening, Frotsman. Several episodes ago, you discussed a scenario where someone could possibly survive shooting themselves in the head. I'm horrified to say I have met one such person. I was at a friend's house and his wife's aunt was visiting. I walked over to greet her and saw that she had a huge growth on her face. It looked like her face was sliding off on one side, and also that someone had surgically implanted a baseball in her cheek. I tried and failed miserably not to stare at what I thought was a tumor. Afterwards, I asked my friend, who was very pissed at her because his daughter discovered her bleeding on the floor, and he explained that she suffered from depression and had several months ago attempted to commit suicide by shooting herself in the head. Unfortunately, depression does not pair well with being a fucking idiot, so she missed and instead shot through the side of her face and survived. What I saw was not a tumor, but the remnants of an exit wound. He went on to explain that she underwent some surgery to repair the damage, but ran out of insurance and insurance coverage and money. She will forever or until the next time she loads up the revolver look a little bit like what happens to people on the surface of Mars in Total Recall. The two morals of the story are depression is serious business and keep pulling the trigger until you can't anymore so you don't have melty face. Final note, I saw Creed live at Alpine Valley in college to get laid. So many Christ poses, but goddamn, it worked. She's my wife now and she doesn't listen to Creed anymore. Nobody does. You guys are the best. Frot strong. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it needs feedback, but
yeah. Henry Rollins had some opinions, huh?
He did. He felt bad about him.
Yeah, I think he was being inarticulate.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
I think he was
trying to
say,
work
like,
through something.
Don't kill yourself if you've got kids.
Yeah.
And he did it in kind of a not
he was trying to say,
way.
Buck up if you're depressed. Yeah. He's trying to say, we're in this together, shit's hard. Yeah. But it came out like suicide is for cowards, kind of.
Yeah, but also, I don't entirely disagree.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, the kids thing, you can't kill yourself when you got kids.
Yeah, well, you would know better than me.
You're not.
You know better than anyone in this room.
You're straight up not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I just sort of opt out of that whole discussion. That's kind of one of those topics where I don't think anyone's wrong. It's sort of just like, yeah, don't just shut up because it's not the time, you know?
Yeah, that's probably the best answer.
You're not going to have your hot take on depression and suicides is not going to be like, it's not going to change the world. Plus, I think Henry Rollins has gotten for like the last 30 years, maybe not that long, maybe like 15. He's gotten used to being the guy that everybody's like, speaking truth to power and sort of saying the shit that everybody
punk
wants
rock
to say.
Intelligentsia.
Yeah. Which is funny because I've always liked Henry Rollins, but I've never liked his music. Like, I don't think he's.
I've tried too.
Like, he's one of the worst Black Flag singers. His like subtle solo stuff kind of sucks, but I really like him as a person.
Yeah.
I love, like, I watch his spoken word stuff. I don't know if he calls it, I think he calls it spoken word and not stand up, but it's actually nice. It's like you're not waiting for him to tell jokes. You're just like listening to him talk, which is cool.
Yeah. I like a good funny story that isn't trying for.
Right.
Pacing occasionally.
Or even if it's not funny, it's just a story that you're like, oh, that was a good story.
Yeah. I think leave out your hot take on suicide is the correct takeaway from that.
Yeah. It's sort of, I don't know, I guess it's a little different than gun control, but I definitely don't want to hear people, like after the day after a school shooting, I don't want to hear anybody's like hot take either way. Because I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see the, speaking of people who I like, but I don't like their art as much, David Lynch, did you see his, ice bucket challenge?
I did not. I heard that he was wearing a mask.
No.
That he,
hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking the challenge, two challenges. The first one is from Laura Dern and she wants me to get the ice bucket, but with iced coffee. This is a double shot of espresso. Put it in the bucket.
I love the way he pronounces bucket. Put it in the bucket.
I'm going to play Somewhere Over the Rainbow and try to anyway. The second The second bucket is for Justin Thoreau. And thank you so much, Justin. Now, I would like to nominate for the Ice Bucket Challenge, Vladimir Putin. Thank you very much.
I can't remember the last time I cared about a David Lynch movie, but man, I'll watch him do just about anything.
What was his last movie?
Fart Junction. Is there something after Mulholland Drive?
Yeah, I thought he had something semi-recently. He did Inland Empire. Some music. He was like with the...
Oh, Mulholland Drive was 2001. Yeah. Jeez. It was... Lady Blue Shanghai. I touched a red button. I don't remember any of these things. Yeah.
Oh. I guess you're right. 2001.
Absurda. Well, he did Inland Empire was 2006. I remember that one.
I remember that one.
That was the one with Justin Thoreau. I didn't see it either.
Huh.
California got sunshine. Hanging out with your friends. Yeah. So I saw this movie this week called The Identical.
Yeah.
Did you see any ads for this?
No. I saw that you posted What's Up with The Identical, but I didn't read the article.
So I went in cold. I didn't know what I was going to see.
Yeah.
And it starts and it's almost like The Room, where this one guy is very much the focal point of everything, and it's all very...
What's The Room?
You never seen The Room? It's just this like weird vanity project that this weird guy Tommy Wiseau made, and who's actually lived up here in San Francisco. It's all
this
set in San Francisco.
Sounds familiar. Have I asked this before? Have you brought The Room up before?
Probably. Yeah. It's like the best midnight movie. Very Birdemic-esque. So Tommy Wiseau, he has like a Russian accent, and everything he says is oddly. Odd inflections and odd, he has an odd accent, but he doesn't like when the people ask him where he's from, he says, "I am from Louisiana area of United States."
This is an act? Is it a? Oh, okay,
I got you. He's it's just a really weird dude, and his face, he's like buff, but he's like Iggy Pop buff, and he's got like weird sunken cheekbones, like he's had work done, or like he's slowly deflating.
Yeah,
and so The Room is like this weird vanity project where he's the main character and he's super nice to this girl, and she's cheating on him, and it's, you know, sort of like a psychological thriller, but it's really funny just because everything's so oddly blocked and oddly staged, and clearly some random crazy person decided to make this movie by themselves.
Sounds fun.
So The Identical is sort of like that, but it's also got like Ray Liotta in it, Ashley Judd, Seth Green is in it, but it's all centered around this one really weird dude. And the plot, this weird, really weird dude who looks like Elvis, but how do I describe
is it?
Like, he's got that unctuous Elvis impersonator look. Like, his hair is too black, and his skin is just too tan, just got that weird, like, handsome hillbilly face that just looks unnatural, kind of like a weird, like, country singer kind of dude. Uh-huh. The plot is that it starts with his parents. They have these two twin boys, and then the parents go to like this tent revival where Ray Liotta's preaching.
Yeah,
and it's actually not a sermon. He's just like whining to the crowd about why he can't have children, and so the family decides to give this man of God one of their kids, and so they're separated at birth, and one of them grows up to be like Elvis. But like the Jackie Jump Jump version of Elvis.
Gotcha. Yep. Uh-huh.
So one of them grows up to be Jackie Jump Jump Elvis, and one of them grows up to be like the son of a preacher who becomes a Jackie Jump Jump Elvis impersonator. Oh. And so like the plot is like his journey to like get out from under the wing of his brother and go out on his own. And also, you know, like play, like also there's a lot of Christian stuff in there. Yeah. So it's like this weird dual vanity project where it turns out the main character was formerly like the world's number one Elvis impersonator. I'm sure every Elvis impersonator says that about themselves. But anyway, like he was on American Idol back in the day. And
so is this a period piece?
Yeah. It goes from like the 50s to like the 70s or 80s or something like that. So like the main guy is this Elvis impersonator who wants to do the solo act, and it's produced by like a family that does produces like Christian rock records
in the movie or the movie itself.
No, the movie itself.
So in real life,
a
Christian rock record family is producing this Jackie Jormchop.
So basically, it's actually probably simpler to understand if I explain it like from the backstory from the beginning, which is basically this Christian rock label took this former Elvis impersonator and like structured an entire.
Oh, in real life, he's an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so like this Christian rock label structured a vanity project around this former Elvis impersonator who they want to be like their next big star, I'm assuming.
So let me go through this point by point to make sure I'm following.
Okay. It's really complicated. I haven't even got to like parts. Anyway, go ahead.
Real life, there's a Christian rock group funding family and a very proficient Elvis impersonator.
Right.
They meet up, mm-hmm. make the movie called The Impersonator.
The identical.
Yeah. In the movie The Identical, this real life Elvis impersonator is playing both Elvis and an Elvis impersonator at the time of Elvis.
Correct.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it's straight out of 30 Rock. The songs are like Bebop and Baby. And I think I can pull it up.
Green Felt Shoes.
It's like Nashville Tonight. So yeah, it's very strange, and not only that, there's the family is not just Christian. They're also from Israel. So you know how like there's certain evangelicals that are really into like Zionism and like supporting Israel. And,
I did not know that, but sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So like their website has like Jewish stuff on it, but they also like promote Christian rock. And so like part of Ray Liotta's preaching is like,
They're letting reality sink in.
Blacks and whites are equal and Jews and Christians should live together. And so it's kind of weird. Like after seeing, Heaven Is For Real, which is kind of just like this divisive, like hateful, shitty thing. Like The Identical, it's really hokey. Cause imagine someone trying to recreate Elvis music, but they're like a Christian rock musician. So it's all like just rock and weird Christian rock take on rock and roll.
Really? Because I feel like Elvis would be okay for them now. It wasn't at the time, but like at this point, their time distortion field has passed the point which Elvis was shocking. And
right.
They're just like, oh, that's what rock has always been forever in both directions.
Well,
in time.
I'll play it for you.
Okay.
I don't know. I found the music creepy, but like from a social standpoint or whatever you want to call it, like at least it was like a message of inclusion. It wasn't like the normal shitty Christian movie. Boogie, boogie, rock and roll.
Oh, all right. No. Stop it. I don't like this. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Isn't it really? It's like everything bad.
You know what this is? It's the little carnival fun house, like the haunted house, you know, where you go in the little car and it's only like, I don't know, like 60 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go up the little ramp and down the little ramp and there's like a guy that pops out and he's got like a mask you buy at the drugstore and it's like, oh, I'm a monster. That is how, and it just keeps going and just over and over again.
I don't think I follow.
It's boogie woogie doot doot doot.
It's sort of like somebody wanted to make a rock biopic, but they only liked the cheesy parts. They didn't like any of the actual.
Yeah, if message of inclusion is the best thing you can say about a movie, that's usually a pretty bad sign.
Well,
it's like
no doubt.
It's
not good.
They weren't attacking any minorities. So this is,
yeah, well, it wasn't. It was naive and innocent, as opposed to being actively.
How did you end
divisive.
Up here? How did you find yourself in this movie? Theater,
I just
watching this film.
I just got invited to a screening and.
Oh, stop! Come on. Bebop and baby, shake, rock it and roll. You can ask her to dance,
but she don't want to dance slow. I think it's kind of like the Disney Channel kids where it's like the, Elvis music is to a regular person. The relationship between a regular person and like a Disney Channel kid is the same as Elvis music in this, where it's like sort of scrubbed clean of any like identifying characteristics until it becomes like this weirdly like processed cheese sort of substance.
Is it the rockabilly subculture that's got me permanently Halloweening out whenever I hear that stuff? Is that what it is? Is it like got a little like Plastic Devil to it, or is it?
I think this is just a particularly bad version of it.
Like, I'm picturing little cutout bats. And, you know, like glow in the dark skeletons and shit. Is that just me? Am I the only one?
I don't know.
Roar, I'm the Chainsaw Massacre.
So yeah, but imagine me trying to watch this without knowing any of this backstory and just being like, what in the fuck is going on with this movie? Where there's this guy that's kind of like Elvis, there's this Christian message that's going on at the same time. At one point, he's like watching the news and it's set, this part's set in the 60s and it's like the Six Days War. And so like there's this whole, like it doesn't really affect the plot at all, but they're just like watching the Six Days War on television and they're like, oh, isn't it great that Israel has survived? And you're like, what the fuck happened? What's going on here? And who is this guy that I've never seen before that is like the main character in a movie with Ashley Judd and Ray Liotta and Joey Pants from The Sopranos? So very strange.
Yeah, that's weird. Did you have to go to a weird theater to see it?
No, it was just like
a regular human theater,
regular, like the same one we always have our I always have our press screenings in.
Huh. How do you spin the wheel of screenings and decide what you're going to go to? You must get.
I mean, it just kind of depends. Week, right? This was like at noon or something on a Monday, which is actually like a really good time for me to check out and go see a movie.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't interfere with what I'm doing that night. And And so I was like, all right, what the hell is this movie all about? And I went and saw it. And I'm glad I did. Like, going in cold, pretty good.
Yeah. I can imagine a lot of movies would be better if you didn't know what you're getting into. I like to watch movies that have been recommended highly, mm-hmm. but I don't know anything about. I find those to be...
Like, you know, it's not... Well, at least someone says it's not terrible.
There's enough of a consensus among people who I share a taste with.
Joe, I think, is ready to go. You want to get him on?
I don't care. You got the computer.
Damn right.
Bring him on. I'm not afraid of him. Didn't scare me.
There it is.
I've seen his face. I know what he looks like. I can find him if I have to.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, is this Joe?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, all right, Frot fans, we got a real treat for you tonight. It's Joe Sinclair.
Wait, hold on, dude. Are we recording?
Yeah.
You didn't fucking tell me that, dude.
Well, I'm telling you now.
All right, let me put this kid away.
You have a kid?
Yeah, let me put this kid away. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you don't want to leave him.
That was a child rapist joke.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up? Who's that?
It's Brett.
What's up, Brett?
What's up?
What, is Brett the one with the big dick? that's the big dick roommate? I always get him confused with, I don't remember which one.
One of the other B names?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
Just us two.
Ah, God.
It's pretty great.
Not even Leap?
No. He was. He's out of town. He's doing some comedy thing somewhere.
I had a bunch of questions about yarmulkes for him.
All right.
I really did.
Like what? Like, how do you put them on? How do they stay on?
I kind of a little bit stuff like that.
Well, I think there's like a little clip that goes on, you put on the back.
Yeah, but what, how does it fit over the horns?
I no comment. I would not dignify that.
But no. The only question I had was like, do people like lose them and stuff like that? You know, like are there more expensive yarmulkes? Like some people are like, oh, you got like a yami. Is that a yami? And then other people buy like I would have to. I'd probably have to, you know, buy like really cheap ones because I'd be losing them all the time.
Yeah, I had a suite mate that had like a Dilbert yarmulke in college.
See, that's sick, dude.
Remember Dilbert?
Why don't more religions have hats? Like, I just...
Catholicism is nothing but hats. I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but you don't get to wear it it's when true. You're in Catholicism. Like, if you're Jewish, hat, you get to rock the hat.
Well, yeah, but Catholicism, it's a merit-based hat system. The higher you go in the Catholic Church, the better hat you get. Like, if you're just a guy in the congregation. I mean, Catholic Church is very hierarchical, you know, very medieval. True. So you got to work your way up. You got to pay your dues. I think altar boys get a kind of hat, don't they?
I don't know.
Before you get the super dope hat.
Yeah, but you get crackers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just got to hope you don't get any dick meat when they put the body of Christ in your mouth.
I've always envied the yarmulke.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of, and it's like a really efficient hat, you know? Like it doesn't really keep out the sun too well, but it's like, it's not very heavy.
Right. But if you have a bald spot, it's a good.
It's the least, it's the least amount of hat you could wear.
Dude, I might convert to Judaism when my hair starts thinning.
Right. It's a good idea. So Joe, you said that you had a problem with our last episode, a few episodes ago, when we talked about the Chinese sperm extractor.
Yeah, that was I don't know, maybe you guys didn't fucking hear what I was talking about in the first place, so you got all kind of confused about it, because it's like, you guys were talking about basically, I mean, from what I read, what you were talking about was essentially a plastic vagina in a box on the street, right?
I mean, it's got wheels. It can be. It doesn't have to be on the street. You can bring it home to your.
Yeah, but okay. So, but just what I was talking about was you take the little electrode, you place one on your taint.
So you're saying this is
one on your perineum.
Okay.
Isn't that the same thing?
So you're saying, okay, so if I have you correctly, you're arguing that when we compared the Chinese automatic sperm extractor to your idea for the EJAC box, that was premature.
This produces incredible volumes of semen.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a fucking total difference in technology. It's like I'm Steve Jobs. And you're in my fucking office holding up an Etch-A-Sketch going, look, man, it's just like the iPad you keep talking about.
All right. So
this is a fucking way more advanced. Like, this produces, if the average load produces something like 5 or 6 dashes, this produces probably 40 dashes. Okay. I don't know what that converts. That's like... That dash to tablespoon. I think that's like 7 tablespoons.
It's enough to bake with.
How many?
But so much.
How many tablespoons are in a shot glass?
Probably about 2.5.
Yeah.
2.5.
I deal in sperm, so I spend my dealing in sperm, so I'm used to the dash.
Think of it as bitters. You want a little splash,
right?
Here.
Not too many.
No.
Sort of like anchovy paste.
Yeah, exactly like anchovy
you
paste.
You want a little, you want to get that umami flavor in there.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's going to be overwhelmingly fishy.
But forcefully pulled from your loins by a machine using electricity.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And this is, I mean, look, ultimately, if they get this technology, I mean, this is not a technology that we want Chinese people to have. I mean, the communist China to have this type of technology. I mean, they already own most of the United States real estate. Now they're going to, in possession of one of the most advanced technologies known to man.
I'm just saying it might be the time the hammer falls and they fill all that real estate with all the Chinese semen they've extracted. And where would we be as a nation then with all of our houses full of spunk?
I mean, they just, you know, the one thing is that there's so many Chinese people in China. I don't know if you knew that.
I have read that. I think there was a news article.
There's
Newsweek
a ton on that. I mean, it's just, they keep pumping them out. They keep pumping them out. It's like when you go to the dim sum house and they keep coming by with the carts after cart after cart. And you're like, dude, I got enough fucking char siu bao, bro. I don't need any more char siu bao. So maybe this would basically eliminate a lot of the need for having babies.
Okay.
But I mean, that's just my point, dude. There's a huge difference.
Right.
In what I was talking about and what you guys were talking about.
So you're saying that what your idea is much more advanced than what the Chinese
have produced. You put the charge on your taint.
Okay.
And what, by the way, I'm bombing. All of this is bombing with my girlfriend right now. She's just staring at me in my living room. None of this will make her laugh. It's just annoying the shit out of her. You put a
girlfriends are always the worst audience.
They suck, dude. I did this thing the other day where she was trying to tell me this important, like really important story. And I was just trying to, the whole time she was telling me the story, I was trying to open one of our neighbor's mailboxes just to be annoying.
Can't imagine that, yeah.
And it was, she hated me. She was like still not forgiving me for it.
So I did have a couple movie related questions.
Okay.
First question. So you saw Unhung Hero, the Netflix documentary about the guy with the small penis who goes on a quest to make his penis bigger.
I never saw it.
Never saw it?
I never watched it, no.
Okay.
But that's because I had heard that it wasn't like a real thing.
Yeah, but you do comedy with his brother in L.A., right?
And I had heard through the grapevine that it was not real. But didn't he say it wasn't real or something? I mean, I've never 100% confirmed that. But like,
if you watch it, it's like blatantly.
I know people that are friends with him, and they said it was fake.
I was watching it, and I was like, "All right, this is." I mean, I have a
which part is fake?
I have a pretty good bullshit detector, I like to think, and I was just sort of
his quest to enlarge his penis was fake. Or
he wanted to make a documentary about different cultures, you know, penis enlargement techniques, and instead of just doing it that way, like he sort of came up with his backstory about how he proposed to this girl and she dumped him because he had a small penis, supposedly. Which,
dude,
I don't buy.
With the sex bot that you're talking about, you still have to pump. I'm talking about completely eliminating pumping.
Why, what do you mean you have to pump? Oh, you mean you have to thrust? I don't have to move my hips?
Yeah.
Well, no, but the Chinese one, the fleshlight does go in and out. It does.
And we're talking about a violent orgasm.
Okay. Okay.
It's going to put you down for probably good 45 seconds.
Right.
At the Albertsons. We're going to put pillows around the... And dude, here's the other thing I don't like about this being in the land of China. First of all, China is shipping. They're shipping crates. My girlfriend is bitch face, won't let me eat fucking meat on Mondays, meatless Mondays, because she says the Chinese, something about Chinese meat and they're shipping containers killing whales. I don't fucking know. But they're killing whales.
Like they're okay. They drop them like depth charges. How do they?
I don't know. They're hitting them with their container. I got it wrong. What is it?
It has nothing to do with Monday. The cranes are killing whales in the Channel Islands Canal by Santa Barbara.
I thought he made that whole thing up, but it's real.
And during migration season, the ships coming from China are killing whales in the Channel canals near Santa Barbara.
So if we don't eat meat on Monday, that they delay the container ship a day?
Okay, I got that mixed up. There has nothing to do with Meatless Mondays.
Okay.
Okay, that's my fault.
I was just thinking that there was like a ship with containers on it, and they would tumble off, and they would bonk the whale on the head.
Oh, and it sinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And now you got, like, you know. But here's the other thing, dude. This is fucking China. This is the land of the knockoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm talking about precision, milled, stainless steel shit. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, like, really high quality stuff. I mean, in China, they're just going to make at some point, the knockoffs are going to get so bad, they're just going to be fucking spray painting some old Taiwanese woman's pussy and strap taping her to the inside of a Coinstar. You know what I mean? And then just like, let's break for lunch.
Why don't we ever have a disclaimer before we have maybe I guess I could.
No, it's like
I could edit
like
one
the
in
movie,
there.
It's like the movie. You just got it going cold.
Okay,
and they're just I'd like to listen to this wholesome news broadcast. Please tell me about the events in the world. Friendly radio personalities.
Is Taiwan even in China? I don't know.
It's an island.
Okay,
it's an island republic. See. What happened was,
hey, get the green spray paint and grab her. We're shipping this one off to fucking, and they just duct tape her to the inside of some
shipping container.
Coinstar.
Just 100.
Why a Coinstar? Is it just because that's a machine that they have at the Albertsons that you were just at?
Yeah, they just rebrand it. They just make it look like it's authentic.
All right. So Joe, how is the how's the comedy career going?
It's not really going that well. not a lot happening.
Is that? Do you think it's networking? Is it a networking problem?
Dude, I don't know. It's probably I don't really do enough. I feel like you have to. Be. I don't even know. Like I always like the people I see that get a lot of times that get stuff just do a lot. Even if it's like terrible, they just put out a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of omnipresent on your like Facebook feed and on your Twitter. They're always like putting out videos or doing this or doing that. I mean, I don't know. It's a weird business.
All right. So if the president of show business is listening right now,
mm-hmm.
What message would you get? Like, what was your elevator?
Oh, this is like, if I become a famous comedian, like, 100%, I'm gonna have to apologize at some point for these fucking stupid podcasts that I did with you.
Yeah,
100%, I'm gonna be apologizing for these. Hopefully, by that time, it will be like people will realize that nobody should ever apologize for jokes, but that's probably never gonna come.
I got yelled at in the comment section today because I referred to Chloe Moretz. I've referred to Hit Girl as oversexed.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that mean that she's having a lot of sex?
Okay, it might not have been the exact precise word that I was looking for. Yeah. But they're like,
the internet had a problem with your choice of words.
Yeah, but they're like, she's 12, man. How can you say that? And I'm like, well, I don't mean over sex like she was having a lot of sex. I mean, the point was that they were sexualizing her, and it was supposed to be wrong, and that was kind of the whole point.
Yeah, your intent was right. You just picked the wrong word.
Okay, I'll go with that. But still, like, everybody reacts like, oh man, how could you bring up sex when you're talking about Hit Girl? She just wears a wig and leather. It calls people cunts. Like, I don't see anything sexual there. And you're like, I don't.
Yeah.
There's like a violent. Violent reaction that people have to when you bring up subtext.
But also, who gives a fucking shit, because it's a stupid comic book that and a movie that nobody saw. I don't know why people get so bent out of shape about like fake shit. It's like it's not.
Did you tell them about the death drive?
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanatos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems such a weird thing to get upset about movies or comedy.
I mean, that's the number one thing that you're going to upset people with is disparaging a comic book.
Right, because it's like the easiest, I don't know.
I like the elitism that comes along with it, where they're like, this idiot hasn't even read X-Men 53. and you're like, all right, I'm not going to disparage all comic books, but don't act like not having read a comic book means that you're less educated somehow. Because I think it's kind of the opposite in a lot of ways.
It's the Starbucks regional manager problem is what it is.
I'll bet you like WWE fans would be the same way if they weren't so fucking stupid. They'd be like, you fucked up the Hulk Hogan, blah, blah, blah. You know, storyline, but they just like have already forgotten probably earlier than you did.
I know a lot of people that I consider fairly intelligent that are really into WWE, and I can never figure it out.
I went to a few when I was younger, and it was pretty fun. You know, like one time my friend who was really into him picked me up, and he said he just wanted to smoke weed, and we were like 15,
mm-hmm.
and he picked me up. And we smoked like so much. You know when you're like young and you smoke you're just like smoking weed to the point where you're just like having a fucking panic attack like every time.
Uh-huh.
Like you just keep smoking. So we did that. And then he basically was like, I got a surprise for you, bro. And we drove downtown and like we turned the corner and we were at the WWE you know, whatever, Fuckfest 2014. And it was pretty fun. It was awesome. We were, like, sitting front row, and I was just, like, screaming, like, fuck you! Fuck you! That was my favorite part. That was, like, the only part I remember.
I could see it.
Was just cussing at the wrestlers. Like, people would just scream whatever they wanted. Like, fuck you, you piece of shit! Like, there was one time this guy named Farouk,
mm-hmm.
who was just this giant, like, black power dude, and he, like, kind of walked past our section, and I just hopped up also, fuck you! And he was just like, fuck you! Like, we were just screaming at each other, and I was like, this is pretty fun. I can see why people do this.
Yeah,
but
on television,
it's, like, kind of lame.
I could see it being, like, NASCAR or any car racing. Like, car racing on TV is just the worst thing ever, but if you go to it in person and, you know, everybody's drinking and throwing Coors Light at each other while you watch the cars go vroom vroom. Like, that is actually pretty fun. I can get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. But watching it on TV and trying to, like, follow it, and it's just weird. Especially now because there's UFC. There's, like, people actually kicking the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Like, it made a lot more sense back in the day because there wasn't that, like, kind of, you know, thing that – I mean, it's basically trying to emulate just two guys like scrapping.
Right. Know? Like whenever, and you know, I'm obviously a huge MMA fan, but then a lot of people will compare the two and I'm like, they're not the same at all. But then I know a lot of people that are into both. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's different. It's like a pageantry thing.
Yeah, it's like, more like ice skating.
Yeah, it is very much like ice skating. If ice skating were a telenovela.
Starring like big rednecks.
Yeah.
I'm going to add Ben to this call.
Sweet, dude. Ben missed my fucking Coinstar bit, but whatever. Was that offensive? I guess it's kind of offensive.
No. Why would they spray paint her vagina green, though? Aren't Coinstars sort of like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. They spray paint it silver. I should have clarified.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Why she would be...
Now you're a robot.
Right.
Good evening.
Oh, hey, Ben.
Oh, hello, gentlemen.
You're on with Brett and Joe Sinclitico.
Hello, I'm Brett.
What's up?
Joe, how is the coffee creamer doing?
It's good, man. Ripping it.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, before we get too deep down a rabbit hole, I did want to ask Joe about Guardians of the Galaxy, because that is a movie and that everybody but Ben has seen.
It is a movie.
Go for it.
Joe, thoughts?
I loved it. Loved it.
Me too.
Thumbs up. Yeah, no, I thought it was like one of the best movies I'd seen in years. I mean, not in like the way that you're like, what a thoughtful movie, but just like the whole time I was watching it, I was so fucking amped up. Like, I felt like I was 9 years old. I was like, like, this is awesome. You know, I remember having that same feeling when I was seeing like Total Recall or, you know, the Star Wars movies or fucking Back to the Future, where you just walk out of there like, yes, dude, you just like, that's what I think it was most like, was like a Back to the Future, that kind of like perfect mix of like nonstop action and like sci-fi, and then with just like really, really, really funny parts to it.
It definitely put me in the headspace of what it must have been like for a 10-year-old coming out of the first Star Wars.
That's how old my dad took my nephew to see it, and he's just like he's just so pumped, you know. Like I saw him right after, and he was just so amped up, like doing karate all over the fucking house and just shooting shit, and it was just like, yes, dude, that's like, you know, that's like how a movie should make you feel, because that's how, you know, like the best movies when I was a kid, I was running around doing karate, shooting stuff.
A movie is not good unless it makes you want to do karate.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben, I had an email for you.
Oh, bring it on.
A fan. I don't know if you read it yet, but good afternoon, gentlemen. This is from a girl, by the way. Good afternoon, gentlemen. First, just watch Whoop Dreams for maybe the fifth time. God damn it, Ben, you are one sexy beast. Like, wow. Second, okay, I'll let you bask in that before I go on to the second.
Booyah! Thanks for making my night, whoever you are, mystery lady.
Yeah, are you back to the gym yet? I know you probably didn't get your gym on as much in Asia.
I did not. No, I am back to the gym, but not. They're not.
What part of Asia were you in?
Southeast Asia, mostly Thailand and Indonesia.
Yeah. Did you fucking kill any whales?
Yeah, I did. Went on a few whale hunts. It was legit. You actually ride elephants out in the ocean to spear the whales. It was really fun.
They have really tall ones. They're special for that.
You make and, the then, and then you have the rare hawks that pick the whale meat up for you.
That'd be dope.
Second part of this email. Second, are y'all still watching Masters of Sex Season 2? It's terrifying/awesome watching Michael Sheen become such an emotional terrorist, and the hotel scenes are as these little Venus and Fur episodes. But Lizzie Kaplan's voice, that ridiculous vintage accent affectation, is nothing but awful. I feel like Vince especially would throw his laptop against a wall the second she starts monologuing. Do you have any tips for continuing to enjoy the show without wanting to Javier Bardem in Skyfall her? First of all, I enjoy pretty much everything Lizzie Kaplan does on that show, I have to admit. Are you guys watching the show at all? It's really good.
No.
It's probably my favorite show.
No.
Probably my favorite show on television.
I'm saving
right
it.
Now.
I got this.
Really?
Yeah. I really, really like it. I mean, the fact that I'm actually actively rooting for Michael Sheen to like get together with Lizzie Kaplan is pretty crazy. I mean, especially if you go back and watch Michael Sheen plays like the head vampire in Twilight, and it's really weird to watch them back to back.
Is that Emilio Estevez's real name?
Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking
it's a good pull.
I just fucking you just fucking set up the Emilio Estevez jokes and I'll just fucking crush them out of the park every time.
I think Estevez is actually Charlie Sheen's real last name. I think they're both technically Estevez's.
That's what I think. Estevez. I think their real name is Estevez.
Okay, sorry, bro. I get the point. I mean, you feel like an asshole.
Are you and Emilio hanging out these days?
Dude, but so they're Mexican? Charlie Sheen is Mexican?
I think they're Spanish.
Oh, that's so weird.
Is it weird?
I guess not. He likes Coke. So.
I mean, I guess Coke does come from Latin America. I mean.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
I love it down there.
I'll normalize that for you somehow as best as I possibly can.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. You ever been to a quinceañera? Come on, bro.
Yeah. I believe you've been to LA before, Vince.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carlos Irwin Estevez is Charlie Sheen's real name.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that's wild. You'd think there'd be more of them. There'd be like 14 brothers.
His
instead of just the two.
Right. His paternal grandparents were immigrants from Galicia, Spain, and Ireland.
Okay.
Okay. See if this makes any sense to you. Yeah. Sheen was born Carlos Irwin Estevez in New York City, the youngest son of actor Martin Sheen and artist Janet Templeton.
Janet Templeton?
So where did they get Estevez from?
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, she's what, a, what she's art a lady.
Did she do?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think she.
Maybe crushed... she did tiger art, and then somehow that it was like full circle.
Why is that?
Because he was all into tiger blood or something, wasn't it?
Oh,
that was his winning phase, Vince.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he was hashtag winning a lot,
right? I don't even remember Charlie Sheen.
He's the guy yeah. that was winning.
He did a lot of. Oh, I see. Martin Sheen's real name is actually Estevez.
He's definitely the next up in like the celebrity, like neurological disease category. He's
to get that. He's definitely diagnosed.
Yeah, he's
Alzheimer's or something.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely that next guy.
I think he spearheaded this entire ALS ice bucket challenge. Also, am I allowed to be annoyed by that?
No,
I'm not allowed to be annoyed by that.
I mean, yeah, but you're not allowed to talk about it. You got to
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Same thing with the suicide. You hold that one in.
Right.
Like, technically, we
it's
should
It's a
have,
net good. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Technically, we should have, like, tax dollars or something pay for medical research. Like, something that isn't a viral campaign should be contributing to the most damaging diseases. But
well, it's all about raising awareness. Ben, I feel like, really dropped the ball.
Nothing I enjoy more than raising awareness. It's not even about the money as much as the awareness. If you're aware, that will cure diseases.
Can we call Two Girls, One Cup the Hepatitis Bucket Challenge?
Sure. I mean, if you...
That'd be a tough one to recreate over and over.
It'd be tough to tag people in that one. I don't know if you get as much participation.
Vince, you have not yet poured a bucket of cold water over your head, have you?
No.
You just don't like raising awareness. Like, how are people?
Gonna yeah, dude.
Aware? How are people going to become aware if you don't pour cold water?
I donated. Matt Lieb tagged me, and I donated.
His Matt's was actually really funny. He poured a bunch of Faygo over his head.
Yeah, but he said something about. Did he say something about the drought?
Well, yeah. So he said, "I'm going to save water. I'm going to pour Faygo over my head." And then, first of all, as soon as the cold Faygo was being done poured, he said, woo woo. But then they hosed him down. He said, this is wasting far more water by doing this than to just pour water.
Also, it's not like Faygo is just made out of some magical substance that doesn't involve water.
It is 100% made out of magical substance.
There's
no water in that at all.
There's a sad pond that they pull it out of.
It's man-made. I guess maybe corn syrup.
Corn syrup and magical fairy tales and a little bit of rap rock.
They wring out like a small rat each time.
Yeah,
just like twist it like a towel.
There's no water. It's like what was it in Idiocracy? Brono?
Brondo, yeah.
Brondo, yeah. It's what the plants crave.
Okay.
Hey, but legitimately, I had no like you guys were talking about awareness. Legitimately, before this thing happened, I had no fucking clue what ALS like. I had no idea what ALS was. I had to Google it when the buckets came around. So at least in that respect, they
made you aware.
Definitely made me aware.
Well,
it's a net positive.
Yeah.
Because they raised a shitload of money, but it does get a little annoying just having people pour buckets of water over their head.
They all shouldn't have to do it.
You can just at this point.
Like if you need a viral campaign,
at this point there should be a moratorium.
Like
so at this point, just donate money. Don't pour fucking water.
Here's the thing. As much as the whole thing annoys me, I got tagged and I donated to like a different charity. So you know.
So you're aware
world,
of something else.
The world did win because of the ice bucket challenge.
What charity did you donate to?
Some Alzheimer's charity. I forget which one. I looked it up
awareness.
On. I looked
hey,
it up on.
Joke.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I just was that meant to be a joke?
No.
Some Alzheimer's charity. I forget which one.
Yeah. No, it wasn't meant to, but I'll take it. It's like slop and pool. I didn't call my shot, but I'll take it. Ball went in.
I think, Vince, there should be more awareness about anal fissures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get rid of it, man. It's just there. It's,
the world's not aware of your struggle.
I think I have athlete's butt. It's just sort of like...
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Just, but permanently?
Yeah, it's just
like
too much...
It's like permanent road rash.
It's not like a legit fissure. It's just sort of like I sweat too much down there and it sort of cracks sometimes.
Well, don't nair it. We've been through that. Right. We've gone down that rabbit hole
yeah,
before.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that. So what's your writing... What's your writing day look like, Ben? I know you're working on a couple books. Are you?
I just need to finish them up. I have not been very productive yet. Today, slept in, and then I had a doctor's appointment following up cancer treatment. You get to still go to the doctor fairly often.
Oh yeah, you're playing that card. All right.
Wow. Wow. You are clearly not aware. Are you not aware of cancer? Cancer is affecting so many Americans, Vince.
I've heard.
How soon after you meet a chick do you tell her you had cancer?
Usually before via telepathy. Not doing a lot of...
I would tell them right off the bat. I'm
hello,
survivor.
My name is Joe.
I would just have it on the shirt.
I'm a cancer survivor shirt. I had cancer and I survived.
Yeah. I feel like you increase your getting laid chances by like 40% minimum.
40 to 46% is the studies.
I mean, she's going to be talking about her ex-boyfriend who's like a fireman and how brave he is. And you're like, oh, brave? You want to talk brave? Is he a cancer survivor?
Yeah. You should just remember all the like Instagram quotes and just say those like, look, just after I survived, every day is a challenge.
Every day is a gift.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift. It's not the destination, it's the journey. Okay, Joe? Yeah,
exactly.
Today actually is the 1 year anniversary of my ball removal surgery. So
wow.
All you listeners out there, pour out a little liquor for my left nut because he had to be put down 1 year ago today. I visited his little mini grave. I buried him.
Did you really?
No, I did not really.
Did they give it to you? Awesome. Did you get to keep it?
No, I did not keep my left nut. It was just RIP. He's up in ball heaven somewhere, just hanging out, waiting for
What if they took him to some secret lab and like 7 years from now you get a knock on your door?
And it's my nut?
It's your testicle with like arms and...
Why did she leave me again?
I'm not going to lie to you. That would be a surprise. I would be surprised at that knock at the door. I would not be expecting it.
Hello, Ben. I'm back.
Would you be embarrassed to see your testicle that you abandoned?
I mean, I'd feel bad about it. Not knowing, like, it's like, what have you been doing? And then we'd have a lot of catching up to do.
And you're like, hey, this isn't a good time. And then you wake up and it's like trying to crawl back inside your scrotum. You wake up one night and it's like, let me back.
I mean, while it's not totally out of the question, I mean, I'd still be surprised if that happened. But let's not rule it out.
But it'd be weird. It'd be weird because he'd open the door and the testicle would be just on the ground. I think like the testicle would need to have hired some sort of butler to sort of carry him like on a metal tray, like under a cloche. You know, he takes the little cloche off and
in a little tiny Bjorn.
On the front.
Facing
just a tiny, tiny little viewer. So 7 years from now, I'll be looking forward to being reunited with my left nut.
Oh, man. So yeah. It was officially your left one.
My left nut had to be put down a year ago today. Goodbye, buddy. I'll forever miss you. He was such a loyal member of my body for 34 plus years.
Do you find that people always reference their left nut but never their right one? Like,
right,
always...
and now I can't say I'd give my left nut for whatever. It's too late.
Why is it always the left one? Do you think they did that to spite you, or
is that? Do you think it's some like God? Just it's a funny joke to him.
Yeah, could be.
Who's laughing now?
Right. So Ben, Joe. I don't know if you can answer these, but he had a lot of yarmulke questions earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Such as?
Just like, are there fancier yarmulkes? Well, because we saw two, me and my girlfriend saw two guys with yarmulkes. One had them put in with little hairpins.
Yeah.
And the other one, no hairpins. It just sat on top.
Well, I mean, perhaps I've definitely seen both models, both versions. Maybe it just depends on how much action, how much movement you're doing in a given day. Sometimes it's like the really small yarmulkes you probably notice.
Does Under Armour make yarmulkes?
Yeah, they're getting into the yarmulke business. They're trying to get take over for Nike's just stranglehold on the yarmulke industry.
You must protect this house.
Is that the slogan?
You can protect this head too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's the Under Armour. Yeah.
And then, do you ever like lose? Like, do you take? Like, are they like sunglasses where you're just like, "Fuck, I forgot it on the table at lunch."
Damn
I could never have a nice yarmulke. I always, you know, like sunglasses. I have to buy the cheap ones.
Well, you have to get croquis. You have to get little like little strings.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the people have the little hair clip. You know, that way you're not leaving it at Red Lobster.
You're not supposed to take it off.
I think the people that are super Jews leave it on throughout the day. I don't think they take it off and set it on the table while they eat.
Especially not a Red Lobster.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, when it's shrimp days, if no one's seeing you, Brett, you can hopefully sneak in some before the rabbi catches you.
It would be dope, though, like when you're on a hike. And then you just lean down by like a little stream and use it to like cup some water.
Carry a baby bird home.
Just feed a deer. Again, nurse a deer back to health.
Yeah. Like, your dog on the walk.
Like Arnold at the beginning of Commando, where he's feeding the deer.
That would be, you know, maybe that's another industry is multi-purpose outdoorsy yarmulkes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they have like a little filter for the water, so it, you know, you're not going to get diarrhea.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Have you guys ever watched the Bear Grylls show, where he takes the celebrity out?
I haven't seen the celebrity version.
It is so fucking awkward. They basically go on a hike, and then he makes them like eat poop.
Yeah,
they're just like, we're having a fun hike, and we're talking about, I'm Tom Arnold, and I'm talking about my marriage. And he's like, here's some poop, touch it with your hands. He's like.
I saw the one with Will Ferrell where he brought a Twinkie, and then the first thing Will Ferrell did was just eat the Twinkie, like right at the beginning. I thought that was funny.
Will Ferrell's a funny man. You know, I finally watched Anchorman 2, and while it's clearly not any sort of masterpiece, I did a lot of laughing.
Still haven't seen it. Didn't you walk out of the theater, Joe?
I did.
Oh, really? You thought it was
but
like
I
that?
Only made it, but I have to preface that by saying that me and my buddy went to a movie and we were both like tired and it was a late movie and we both fell asleep after the first half hour and we left. But we were just like, I don't think like maybe if I was kind of hanging out at my apartment watching on like HBO Go, I would have thought it was more funny.
It's no masterpiece. Will Ferrell is, he turns out he's a pretty funny guy and he held it together. It was, They went a little overboard with the brick. It was like they went a little nostalgic on everything. Vince, it's worth watching though.
He can Will Ferrell can make a lot with a little.
Yeah, and then this was on the flight home. I watched a ton of movies, and I watched the first 45 minutes of Step Brothers is basically impeccable. Right until after the job interviews.
That's Step Brothers. I don't necessarily know that I want to watch it all the way through ever, but if I can catch 20 minutes on cable, it's always amazing.
Yeah. There's the beginning that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, we were just going back through. I introduced a bunch of people to the Devil Can't Write a Love Song sketch, where Will Ferrell is the devil and he's trying to help Garth Brooks write songs, and he just has like a series of songs that he thinks are going to be a hit, and they're all so good. There's a guy named Fred and he's got a pair of slacks. Ooh, Fred's got slacks.
I thought Brett was going to create a bot that writes country songs. What happened to that?
Oh,
Brett,
yeah.
I looked it up. There's nothing out there. So.
Oh, you should do that. Like an app, like a Kenny Chesney app.
Yeah. What? So should it pull from existing country music types?
No, just topics.
It should make new lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah, topics.
So I should populate it with things like beer and
beer, rivers,
warm nights,
beer, rivers, tan lines,
yep,
dirt roads,
yes,
girls,
uh-huh,
beer,
uh-huh, What about truck beds?
Cornfields?
Date rape cobras.
There's date rape cobras now? I was worried about the ones with venom.
You've been married too long, bro. There's date rape cobras all over.
I wish every country artist just had Joe in there just to inject a little weirdness into their song. It's mm-hmm. like, hanging out on a Friday night, gonna party in a river with a cobra.
It's called Cobra? Cobra song?
I met a young girl in my truck tonight. She had a tan line and a falcon that drank my cum.
I think I smell hits.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk.
This 9-year-old that shoots people.
That's what I was going to say. Joe, yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. I was going to ask if they talked about the little girl just gunning down Uzi instructors.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, number one, you're teaching a 9-year-old to shoot an Uzi. I don't know if that's necessarily recommended. Second of all, it happened in Arizona, and I'm not surprised that the state that lets Steven Seagal train its police has people that don't shoot guns well or intelligently.
Hold on real quick. I just had this vision of Ben being in like a Korean spa late one night, and he walks by and he just does a double take because he sees that one of the Korean men has his ball. And they both like kind of look at each other like just in briefly passing. Like,
yeah.
I know you. That was a scene. End scene.
No, that's good. Yeah, you're really good at writing like individual scenes.
And then is my right ball sort of squirming, trying to get back with his old.
Yeah, yeah. Your right ball like pulls you on the arm, like don't look at him. He's gone.
Oh man, I can't wait for that. That'll be, man. You're such a future teller. You should maybe get a phone line.
Well, Chris, I have a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
More ball jokes.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Phrasing. Where were we?
9-year-olds shooting down.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Probably don't give a 9-year-old an Uzi.
It's a bad idea.
I would advise against that. We do love our guns, though.
We do. Speaking of current events, I finished reading between like last week or 2 weeks ago when we started talking about Ferguson, and this week I listened to The Divide, the new Matt Taibbi, and holy shit, he almost predicted, like, he basically predicted that there was going to be some sort of police blow-up based on the way they're doing policing in the inner cities. Like, he's talking a lot about New York, where they just, like, station a bunch of cops in the projects, and they give them a quota of people they have to take in.
Stop and frisk. Stop and frisk.
So they just basically throw a bunch of people in a van,
yeah,
and because everybody's poor and like to take a case to trial, you have to like just know, you have to be totally convinced of your own innocence. Like they'll throw you in the van, and if you didn't actually do anything wrong, they'll just keep pressuring you to take a plea to where it's like, oh, you know, you do like 10 hours of community
loitering.
Yeah, 10 hours of community service. But if you don't take it, you either have to be able to afford bail, or you have to, you know, spend however long in jail and miss however much work. So it's like this entire system of policing that
it's the same tactics that made us so popular in the Arab world.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And they love us over there now, so I don't see any problem.
The whole situation made a lot more sense after I read the book, basically.
And I'm sure most of the people in the that they take in are white. Right?
Yeah, well, almost entire. I mean, that's the only people that live in New York.
That just helps the whole situation.
They talked to this one white dude from California who had moved to like some shitty neighborhood in Bushwick. And like, he was like some jazz musician, like total hipster, but he would smoke rolled cigarettes because they're cheaper because of all the taxes. And he was hanging out outside some shitty project in Bushwick or Bed-Stuy, and the cops just come up and like, they were like plain closed, and they thought it was a joint. So they basically like, he ran away not realizing they were cops, and they beat the shit out of him. And he eventually got off, but he's talking about all this like post-traumatic stress and shit that he had from that. And then they're like, well, what about the average black guy that lives in that project? And they're like, oh yeah, they probably had that happen to him like 15 to 30 times.
Yeah, that was
it's like, wow. Yeah. And this white guy had it happen once. He's like, yeah, my life's changed forever. I have like PTSD.
Try. Wait, did you guys not want movie pitches?
Oh, you had movie pitches?
Yeah.
Why the hell didn't you bring this up like an hour ago?
I don't know. You were fucking,
we're all like trying to fix the system, and you're just sitting there on movie pitches.
Liberal fascist fucking cop bashers.
Can we get that in a t-shirt?
I want movie pitches.
Dude, okay. So you know how Sylvester Stallone talks like retard, like he talks a little retarded.
He talks.
So you can't tell in the movies, but like in person when you meet him, he's like, oh. I met him a few times in L.A. because there's fucking celebrities out here. It's not fucking just like a bunch of fucking computer nerds like where you guys are.
Yeah.
Proceed.
And so this is kind of a Rambo reboot, but it's like Rambo is it's called Rambo Gynecologist Hunter, and okay. It's Rambo's going to kill all the gynecologists that are using the forceps that are causing facial paralysis on the babies. Like what he has on his face.
I see. Yeah.
So he's hunting down the gynecologist to use the forceps that made him slur.
Right.
That's all I have so far.
That's really good. That's a good start.
Okay, this one's even more needs to be hashed out, but it's a horror movie.
Not as fleshed out as the last one.
Okay. It's a horror movie. It's called The App. Mm-hmm. And it's like about an app that's killing people.
Okay.
That's all I have.
They download it and they die.
I don't know. Yeah. Like maybe it's routing Uber drivers to fucking run you over.
Uh-huh.
Or something.
Yeah, like it it's a Yelp recommendation to a restaurant that poisons you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Or yeah.
Yes.
Death bus.
Text messages you die. Mm-hmm. And you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it sends flashing lights to people that have what's the thing where you have seizures? What's that called?
Epilepsy.
Yeah. It just makes the phone flash a lot.
Uh-huh. The app.
Yeah, like when you're trying to use your phone for navigation and it just starts flashing. Mm-hmm. You crash your car.
It starts rumbling until it falls into the bathtub and it fucking electrocutes you.
Okay.
It's the app, Brett. Don't download the app.
No.
Don't download the app, but it has 5 stars. App. So everybody's getting it.
This summer.
I mean, it's so hard to say no to the top rated app.
Yeah. I don't know what it does, but it's just the app. It's just the app.
Are there any?
I'm trying to tie in to just that's like a good marketing thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is you find something that's popular in popular culture, and then you make it kill people in a movie.
Mm-hmm. That's and then like if you really had that app and sold it for like 99 cents, we might have a gold mine.
Yeah, it really kills people.
Yeah.
That does
That's
seem like a good
not
way
bad,
to write
an
horror
app
movies.
That kills people.
All right, yeah, okay. You seem surprised.
Get through the Apple.
You seem surprised that your own pitch is good.
I think it's fucking great. Okay, dude.
Right.
This one is okay. Even less fleshed out. I just have a title.
All right.
German Ass Pounders Hospice Edition.
Okay. I mean,
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Hospice Edition.
Is this so? It's a sequel.
Right.
I have no idea. It's a series. This one is Hospice Edition.
All right.
Dude. Okay. All right. Magic Mike 3.
All right.
Fucking, what's the dude's, the really good looking guy's name?
Joe Manganiello?
No, the fucking one with the ears.
Channing Tatum?
Yes.
Okay.
Channing Tatum has advanced ALS, and it manifests in he can't stop twerking.
Okay.
So he literally enters rooms backwards, twerking into the room.
Mm-hmm. Every scene.
Matthew McConaughey took a railroad spike through his orbital socket into his brain.
Uh-huh.
And it's they can't remove it. So he has lost the ability to dance. And he has a railroad spike through his head the whole movie.
Mm. It's a lot of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on a road trip. Railroad in 2014.
Right. It's sort of like the too many villains problem. Mm-hmm. Just, by the third Magic Mike, there's just too many complications.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that a good idea with a railroad spike?
Uh-huh.
It's not been done before.
No.
Through the face.
Okay. Right.
Out the back of the head.
Mm. All the way out the back.
Yep.
Okay.
This next one is like a YA Scientology movie called The Forest.
The Forest.
And I'm just gonna act out a scene.
Okay.
From The Forest.
Uh-huh.
This is the dad. And it's Jennifer Lawrence plays a girl named Tiffany. And then who's the girl that had cancer in that movie recently? What's her name?
Chloe Moretz.
No.
Shailene Woodley.
Oh, yeah.
Shailene
right.
Woodley. She plays Yanita.
Okay.
So John Travolta is the dad.
Yeah, of course. Good choice.
God damn it, Yanita! I don't want you ever seeing Tiffany again.
Dad, don't say that. Dad, don't say that. What's...
Yanita, what was your tongue doing in her asshole?
Dad, we told you we were in the forest. And my tongue was freezing and I couldn't feel it. And her ass was so warm. I was trying to warm up my tongue.
What about the German? What was that German chocolate cake?
What German chocolate?
There was German chocolate cake. All over her pussy in your face.
We bought a German chocolate cake. We were taking it to her birthday. And you know that when it freezes, because we were in the forest and it gets so cold, and it freezes, and then when it defrosts, it gets warm. So we put it in her pussy because her pussy's so warm. And then we got hungry because we were stuck in the forest. And I ate it out.
God damn it. Oh, for Hubbard's sake, you will be audited. Your Thetan being is tainted. That's end scene.
Oh, man, that's a tour de force. Those acting classes are paying off.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I was up peeing. Did I miss anything?
Oh, were you really, Vince?
Yeah, what happened?
Are you serious? You're gonna have to re-listen to it. It was a tour de force.
All right, yeah, I'll check that one in the editing booth.
Oh my god, you really didn't hear that? It was incredible. Brett, did you hear that?
Hear what?
Joe's.
Brett got in. Brett just got in. He was moving his car.
Sorry, I had to park.
Oh,
he's parked.
You guys are funny.
Whew. Oh.
Joe, well done.
Thank you.
Tell me you performed that at one of your acting classes.
I haven't done it yet. But did you guys get the part that her tongue was freezing?
Right.
Because they're in the forest.
I get it.
They're in the forest.
I get
it.
It was
cold in the forest.
Right.
I didn't at the time, but I mean, looking back, it was pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yanita's tongue got super, super cold.
Okay.
And she had to warm it in Jennifer Lawrence's ass.
I like it. The Forest is probably my favorite scene out of all the movie pitches. But
are you guys trying to by saying you were away, you're trying to eliminate yourself from taking part in what just happened? Is that what's going on?
No, not at all.
How dare you, cowards. You fucking cowards. I come here on this fucking podcast and devote, like, give. Just give, dude. For what?
Nothing. A whole lot of nothing.
We got to audit their things, Joe.
Yeah.
You guys are such fascist, liberal, cop-hating.
Thetan lovers.
Oh, Thetan lovers.
Xenu. They worship Xenu.
What was the part that you were worried about? The Scientology or the fact that...
I don't understand. I wasn't worried about anything. I was just gone. I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
John Travolta doesn't listen to this podcast, bro.
Yeah.
Neither does Tom Cruise. Juliette Lewis.
Leah Remini. Kirstie Alley.
Beck.
Dude, the German, she had a Jason mini Lee. German chocolate
Danny
cake.
Danny Masterson, the redhead kid from Sandlot.
Yeah.
Danny Masterson's the redhead kid from Sandlot?
No, no. Two different people.
Gross.
Is that your last pitch, Joe?
Yeah, that was it, dude.
All right, well, it's been real, you guys.
Realer than real.
Super real. Frogcast@gmail.com, 415-275-0030, at Joe Sinclitico.
And guys, donate to law enforcement, law funds.
Mm-hmm.
They need more weapons.
They need more weapons.
All right. Should I say it? Good night and good chins.
Oh. Now try again.
Good. Until next time.
No.
All right. No. Goodbye, you guys.